This is 2010 Yatra. There's one nice verse from Padma Puran to glorify this place, to understand its significance. So we can all repeat this verse together. Sanskrit verse, because usually we have Bhagavatam class. So Sanskrit is very purifying and it's very simple Sanskrit. Yatha Radha Priya Vishnu,
Priya Vishnu,
Tasya Kundam,
Tasya Kundam,
Tata Priyam,
Tata Priyam.
I'll read that line myself. Yata Radha Priya Vishnu, Tasya Kundam, Priyam Tata. Sarva,
Sarva,
Gopishu,
Gopishu,
Sevaika,
Sevaika,
Vishnu,
Vishnu,
Rat. Ratyanta,
Ratyanta,
Valabha,
Valabha,
Sarvagopishu Sevaika Vishnu Ratyanta Valabha. This is Padma Puran describing the identity of this place. And it says that among all the Braja Gopis, thousands and thousands of gopis in Vrindavan, so many gopis are there during Krishna's time, Radharani is Krishna's Pranavalabha. Pranavala means the dearmost beloved of my heart. Because Krishna has many gopis. Chandravali, Shaibya, Padma, Lalita, Vishaka, many, many gopis, but Radharani is number one. She's Pranavala, she's very dear to his heart. So first we have to understand what is the position of Radharani. Radharani is Krishna's dearmost intimate consort, beloved. His personal body expanded. Pranavalava. Now the verse is saying that this place that we have come to, similarly, Radha's favorite lake, Radhakund, is also extremely dear to Krishna. So this lake, of course, there's two. There's Shyamakund and Radhakund. And very, very dear to Krishna, this Radhakund, because Radharani, she manifested this kund with her own bangles, Radhakund. So we usually every year we recite something of the glories of Radhakund. Many of you have been here before and you'll hear them again. But we should always hear about the glories, the mahima, the glories of a holy place when we go there. Varaha Puran is telling that Radhakund and Shyamakund destroy all kinds of sins and they give liberation. What type of liberation do they give? Pure love of God, Krishna Prema. By bathing here in Radhakund, one can attain love for Krishna. Prabhupada, of course, has told us the glories of this place. In Nectar of Instruction, has everyone read Nectar of Instruction? Upadeshamrita? So now we're at that place. The Nectar of Instruction, this book ultimately glorifies this place. I mean, you think about it, there's one book written about Radhakund. It's called Upadesh Amrit. Upadesh means instructions and Amrit means nectar. Nectar, ambrosia, that which provides life, Amrit. It's a type of energy, a type of blessing, a type of taste, a type of energy which makes one eternal, deathless, immortal. That's Amrit. Is he getting all that? So this is, now this whole book, Rupa Goswami, he lived here and did bhajan. And he wrote this book to explain the glories of this place. This is all about Radhakund. And Prabhupada gave us this book in ISKCON in 1975. Why? Because this is Prayojana Tattva. Prayojana Tattva means the goal, the truth, the goal, the essence. So somehow or other, we're beginning this 8-day pilgrimage, this 8-day yatra. And we're going to visit Gokul, Krishna's birthplace, and Barsana, Radharani's birthplace, and then Ravel, which is also her birthplace. And then, what else? Vrindavan, Yamuna, all these places we'll visit. But the ultimate destiny of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to be in this place, Radhakund, in this mood of serving Radha and Krishna. There's a certain bhav here, a certain mood. And that mood is the epitome of all the moods and bhavas of the spiritual world. That mood of love, the loving exchange between Radha and Krishna, which occur here at Radhakund, cannot be found anywhere in Braj. It is pure, unadulterated. When we say, Ahoitaki apratiyata, Hoyta kia pratiyata, we talk about pure unalloyed, unalloyed love, no mixture. Vishuddha, Vishuddha Prem, no mixture. We're talking about Braja Prem. Now in Braja Prem, the highest form of love in Vrindavan is a love between Radha and Krishna, Yugal. The divine couple, we say, in English we say, the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. In Sanskrit we say, Radha Krishna Yugal. Yugal means two. Divine couple. Because in Radhakund, this is called Radhakund. This is Radharani's place. And Radharani is the greatest devotee of the Lord. And she has the most intense love. Everything that Radharani does, everything she says, everything, her words, her song, her form, everything she does is full of charm, full of beauty. She's very charming. She charms Krishna's mind. She's so beautiful. And she's so sweet. Everything about Radharani. And here in this place, Radhakund, there is no other distraction. There are no mothers, there are no fathers, there's no mother-in-laws, there's no father-in-laws, there's no brothers, there's no sisters. There's only Krishna and his girlfriends. Many girlfriends, and especially Radharani. So therefore, this is the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, to understand the pure love of Radharani. Prabhupada always says that when we're worshipping Krishna, we pick some flower. Prabhupada explained in a very elementary way how to worship Krishna. You see some beautiful flower in the field, some rose, all around the world they have rose, nice fragrance. So you say, oh, this flower is so nice, I should offer this to Krishna. I should give this flower to Krishna. Patram pushpam phalam tayam yo me bhakti prayachati. Taram bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmana. Krishna is telling in Gita, if one offers me, Krishna is telling in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, to his devotee Arjuna, he's saying, oh Arjuna, if anyone offers me a flower, or a leaf, just a leaf from a tree, especially a tulsi leaf, or a flower, or a drop of water, if he offers it to me, arpanam, if he makes an offering, then I give my love to him. We can get Bhagavat Prem, love of God, just by offering a drop of water to God. So simple, so easy, so sweet, so natural. We see the beautiful flower, we know it's beautiful, we see the color, and we already know from our familiarity that it has a nice fragrance, so we pick the flower, and we say, I will take this to the temple and offer it to Krishna. But then, Gurudev, Prabhupada is telling us that we don't go to Krishna, Krishna take this flower, because Krishna, he is controlled by Radharani. Because her love is so perfect and so pure, and her dedication is so unlimited, that no one can match her. So Prabhupada said, we bring the flower and say, Radharani, oh Radharani, oh Srimati Radhika, I have picked this rose flower to give to your Krishna. Will you please give it to your Krishna? And Radharani takes the flower from you and says, surely, I would love to do this. And then Radharani turns and says, Krishna, here's a flower. And Krishna says, ah, bahut badhiya. Bahut badhiya sugandhi. Very nice smell. Very good smell. But this is how Krishna likes it. Krishna likes anything that comes from the hand of Radharani, Krishna will accept. So our perfection is to place something in the hand of Radharani. What do we want to place in the hand of Radharani? We want to take our heart, which now is going in the wrong direction. Our heart is going in the wrong direction toward Maya. Kam, krodh, lobh, moh, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, all these things. Our heart is going there. So much greed pinching our heart. So much envy pinching our heart. So much lust pinching our heart. It's very difficult to catch that heart because the heart is being stretching in different directions. We can't catch it. But by Guru's grace, we can catch the heart. Karshan. Krishna. Krishna means Karshan. Krishna. The word Krishna, Karshan Anand. So Krish means Karshan, Anand, Karshan means gravity, power of attraction, magnetic pull, Karshan. And Na means Anand. Na means Na and A. Na and A. This little tricky thing here. We say Anand. Ananda means blissful, blissful. Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe.
Radhe, 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 Jai, 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 Shri Radhe.
Vrindavan Bihari Lala Ki Jai, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So Prabhupada, he said, where's the bliss? Here, the bliss is here, Radha Kund. And he gave the whole world this book, the Nectar of Instruction. Say, yes, come to Radha Kund. Meditate on Radha Kund. Live at Radha Kund. Yes, we will all live there together in our siddhadeyas, in our spiritual bodies. No more Ruski body, no more American body. Pure spiritual body, Satchitanand Vigraha. Beautiful gopi, manjari, beautiful coward boy. So Prabhupada gave us his book and he said we should always keep connection with our prayojana. Our goal is there. We can't attain a goal until we define it. We can't attain a goal unless we think about it. And we can't attain a goal unless we work towards it. As the cliche is, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So Prabhupada in 1975 says, listen, everyone read this book. Study this book. This is the instruction, Upadesh. That we must understand that there's a certain, this is a place of ras, a place of pastimes. Because in Sanskrit, this is called lake. We say lake, sarovara, kund. Kund means lake in English, lake. And Sanskrit is sara, sara. Sara means lake, as sa and ra. But when you, Sanskrit, you take it back the other way, it becomes rasa. Sara becomes rasa. Rasa means that special, indescribable joy that arises in the heart when one realizes God. The indescribable joy that arises in the heart when one realizes his relationship with God is called rasa. And it can be shantaras, it can be dasiras, it can be sakiras, madhuriras. For us, it is bhakti ras. What kind of bhakti ras? Devotional flavor. Braj bhakti, Vrindavan bhakti ras. And what two, and it has two flavors. This ice cream store only has two flavors. You know, some ice cream stores, they have 25 flavors. So this ice cream store, there's two flavors in this Braj bhakti Basically, there's you become Krishna's friend, Sakha, Sakha Ras, or Madhurya Ras. Sakhi Ras or Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras means that intimate conjugal sweetness that comes from assisting Radha and Krishna's divine love pastimes, Rati Keli Vilas. Rati Keli Vilas, divine loving pastimes. So Prabhupada is telling us that Radhakund is this place. This is a place where the Priyanarma, the very special confidential coward boys, they help Krishna's pastimes. This is a place where the Sakhis, the Gopis and Manjris, they help Radha and Krishna with their pastimes. Everyone in ISKCON, get this book. It's in Russian, right? This book is in Russian. It's in Russian, Hindi, Bengali, hundreds of languages. Because Prabhupada wanted everyone to know clearly, this is the goal. We want to come to Vrindavan, and our ultimate, shelter is Radhakund. Because Radhakund is where Krishna and Radha feel the greatest happiness. So how did it all start? How did Radhakund start? It started, interestingly enough, it started with Krishna's desire. Krishna wanted to have rasa dance. He wanted to dance with all the gopis one night, here at Govardhan. And there's one king, and King Kamsa. King Kamsa was the wicked atheistic ruler of Mathura district. And at that time, Vrindavan was a small pastoral village. Cows, parrots, peacocks, simple dwellings, bullock carts. People traveled by foot everywhere. No one went in carriages, no one went in chariots. But only 10 miles from here, 8 kilometers, there's Mathura. Mathura is a big, big city. It's called Madhupuri, Mathura. Big, big city like Moscow. Moscow, big city. But then somewhere outside in the country. So this Vrindavan is the country. So what happened? This wicked king, he was envious of Krishna. This is a big problem in the material world. Someone has something wonderful. Someone has something wonderful which we don't have, then we become envious. We want to have that thing. So then our heart starts to burn. Our heart starts to burn with that envy that we want to have that thing that the other person has. So what? Kamsa had wealth. He was famous. He was very powerful. He's a big atheist, a wicked demon, as they say. And he was so powerful that he was defeating the greatest demigods. So, he's very, very powerful. He has so much wealth and so many servants and so many queens. But one thing he didn't have. He didn't have transcendental bliss. But he had a lot of anxiety. A lot of pleasure and a lot of pain. The typical material coin, the means of economy in the material world, the material coin has heads and tails, two sides, sukh and dukh. Sukh and dukh means happiness and distress, joy and sorrow, agony and ecstasy. This is the duality of this world. But Kamsa was always getting reports from Vrindavan. He was getting reports from his spies. His spies would come to Vrindavan and say, "What is that boy doing? What is that little boy doing now?" "Oh, now he's only crawling. He's a very young boy. He can't even walk. But he's crawling. And sometimes he crawls out of his house and goes to the neighbor's house next door. And he goes there early in the morning when everyone's sleeping. And then he goes in the window with a few coward friends. He brings some of his coward boys with him, some of his gopas, sakas. And they go inside that window, and they're inside every house there's a storeroom for butter. Dark and cool, very nice, like refrigerator type, walk-in refrigerator, storeroom. The boys would go in there, and then they would pile up some mortar and some clay pots. It was hanging from the ceiling, like this rope is hanging, so the pot was hanging there. So no animals could get the yogurt or butter. So they would pile up all these pots and the boys would kneel down like this. They would make a human triangle. One boy would get on top of the other. Then finally Krishna would be on the top and he would put his hand up into the clay pot. Oh! All right. And take a huge handful of butter, freshly churned butter. Was churned that morning. Everyone's sleeping, but the lady of the house, she got up and churned the butter. Then she was busy bathing or doing some other work with the goshala, with the cows. So everyone else is sleeping. So Krishna said, boys, look at this. Oh, look at this. Mmm. Ah, small, fragrant, sweet butter. So then they said, yeah, come on, give us some. Give us some. Come on, come down here. No, I'm king. So he's standing, everyone's like this, because they're all like a triangle, and they're all four boys and three boys and two boys, and he's on the top, and they're all like, oh, come on, we can't hold you. It's all right. So then he comes down with the pot, and starts giving to everyone. And everyone's eating. So this, the spies were telling Kamsa, this wicked demon king, this is what he's doing. Oh, he's doing that? Then he would think within his mind. He wouldn't tell anybody. He wouldn't tell his ministers. He wouldn't tell his spies. But Kamsa was thinking, that sounds like a lot of fun. But I can't do that. I'm a big king. I can't crawl in the dirt like a baby. I can't break into someone's house. It's against the law. I mean, I made the laws. Breaking and entering. It's against the law. But it sounds like so much fun. Then a little while later, the spies come and say, what's he doing now? Oh, now? You know what he's doing? He's very, very, very naughty boy. Very, very naughty. Although, he's only 7 years old, he's extremely precocious. He's extremely, let's say, advanced. He's 7 years old. Do you know what he's doing, King Kamsa? No, what is he doing? You won't believe it. As you know, it is a standard in the village that the ladies go to the sacred river, Yamuna, and they bathe in a private place. It's called the ladies' bathing area. And the men, somewhere further upstream, they bathe separately in a segregated place. He's going there, and the ladies are going there bathing, and everyone knows this is the private ladies' bathing place, and no men should go there, and it's a big offense, and one can get punished if he's caught there by the elders of the village. So it's understood by everyone that this is reserved, protected, restricted area. So the ladies are bathing there, these young girls are bathing there. So they leave, the custom is they leave all their clothes on the bank of the river, and then they go bathe naked. So Krishna and a couple of his little boyfriends, they sneak up through the forest on the banks of that river Yamuna, where they can't be seen. Very quietly they sneak through that forest. It's early morning, it's not dark and it's not light. You can see but not so clearly, it's called dawn. The gopis are not suspecting any boys are going to come there. Everyone knows it's off limits. Krishna's looking at his friends. Then they get to the bank of the river and they look over some bushes. Uh-huh. Look. Acha. Hey, Subho. Oh, the clothes are lying there on the banks. And the gopis, now meanwhile, the gopis, these young girls, they're bathing in the Yamuna. They're forgetting themselves. They're splashing and one girl's pulling the other girl's hair. Pulling her beanie, pulling her hair down, another splashing like this. They're just playing. They don't understand, they're not aware, they don't see. So Krishna and Subala, some boys, they go up and they snatch all those clothes. Then they climb up in the Kadamba tree, Krishna's favorite tree, Kadamba. Very beautiful flower. Beautiful flower, it blossoms in the rainy season. So then Krishna sits there, all the clothes on the branches of the tree. He puts them there. And the boys are up there in the branches hiding with him. And then the gopis, they finish bathing, they come out. Huh? Hey, Sakhi. Where's our clothes? Someone stole our clothes. What are we going to do? How much can we cover with our hands and our hair? I mean, they have long hair. They can pull it in the front and go like this. But from the Yamuna, to their house in Barsana is 25 kilometers. 30 miles. Can you imagine walking for 30 miles like this? Like walking like this? It's not possible. Totally naked. Oh, gopis were so afraid. And Krishna's there in the branches with Subal. And they're hiding. No one, they're camouflaged. No one can see them. So they're looking down at the gopis and look at them. And Krishna's enjoying. He's enjoying. They're in distress, but Krishna's enjoying. It's his fun. That's what fun is about, actually. When you think about even material fun, you have fun at somebody else's expense. It ends up like that. But ultimately, the gopis are going to relish this, because actually these gopis, they went there to bathe early in the morning because they were doing some puja. They're performing a tapasya, a vow, a brat, penance for 1 month to worship a deity of Durga, of Katyayani, actually Katyayani, Shakta, Ma Katyayani. They're worshipping and they're praying, Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kuru Te Namaha. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kuru Te Namaha. O Devi, O Katyayani Devi, please bless us that the son of Nanda Maharaj, that Nanda Maharaj's son Krishna, Nanda Nandan, Nandulal, that he will become our husband in the future. When we grow up, we want Krishna to be our husband. So now the last day of that vow, these girls who were 6 years old, Krishna was 7 years old. As I said, he was very precocious. And Krishna, when they looked around, then Krishna sat and took out his flute. He took out his bamshi. His celebrated bamshi, his celebrated flute. He played the flute so sweetly, mellifluously. And the gopis heard that flute. Hey, Hari. Hey, Lalite. Hey, Vishakhi. Did you hear that? Where is it coming from? And the gopis' ears, they became like Indian cow's ears, if you know what I mean. In America or in the Western countries, the cow's ears, they go like this. They go down, yes? And they don't go anywhere. They stay there all day and night. But in India, if you're observant, a cow's ears, they're up like this, right? First of all, the American cow, the ears go down. These go like this. So you say, okay, ears going like this, okay. But then, all of a sudden, you make some sound, you go, one ear goes like this, whoop! One ear turns back and the other is going forward. And then you make a sound over here, it goes, rush, rush, rush. You watch, you'll see, Indian cow is something extraordinary. The ears of the Indian cow are unidirectional, or just rather omnidirectional. This way, that way. The mother's calling him, the baby calf, the mother's going, Mom! 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 The mother's calling her. So the little baby goes, or one ear goes, the ears go like this, oh, my mata, she's over there, she's calling me. So catching. But now Krishna plays his flute. Krishna plays his flute to call the cow in another, the baby cow in another direction. Krishna's over there. So Krishna goes, plays his flute, ooh, like this. Then one ear goes, whoa! So one ear is listening to the mother calling him, and the other ear is listening to Krishna's flute. You see? Has everyone seen this Indian cow's ears? Something extraordinary, no? Another extraordinary feature of Vrindavan Dhama ki. Shri Dham Vrindavan ki. Radha Rani ki. The gopi's ears are like that. Gai Kakan. Gai Kakan. Ears of a cow, they can go this way, that way. So the gopis are there, standing like this, the hair hanging in front, covering themselves, and their arms crisscrossed. and they hear Krishna's flute echoing through the forest of Vrindavan. And they look at each other, hey, where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? And they're looking this way, that way, their ears are going this way, that way, where's the flute coming from? And then someone looks and says, oh, look up there, there. See that yellow streak of lightning? That, I think that's Pitambara. That's the Pitambara dhoti of Krishna, the yellow cloth of Krishna. And then when they look at Krishna, Krishna goes, hee hee hee. He starts saying hee hee hee. He's a little kid. He's only 70 years old. So he starts, he's embarrassed. He got caught. He's embarrassed. He got caught. He starts going, hee hee. You know, and then Lalita Sakhi, she says, because she's little, she's hot, she's very hot tempered, very haughty. Lalita Sakhi, who's Radharani's older girlfriend, she's very haughty and very shakti, little power. You, Krishna, you stole our clothes and ran in that tree. If you don't come down here right now, I'm going to tell King Kamsa. And that wicked king will come here and arrest you and put you in jail. You hear me? Meanwhile, Krishna's in the tree. He looks at Subala and says, did you hear? Did you hear? She said, did you hear me? Then Krishna repeats to Subal, his best friend, Subal. Did you hear her? And Subal, because in India many things are spoken with the eyes. He gave one of these typical Indian tilts of the head, which means, yes, 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 she said that, but, you know, we don't care. So then Krishna said, right. There was nothing, Krishna just looked at Subal and said, right. Hey, Lalita! Suniye, listen. You tell your King Kamsa to get lost. I don't care a fig for King Kamsa or his soldiers. So, there. So Lalita Sakhi went like this. In a huff, and then Krishna up in the tree went like the same thing. So now it's a stalemate. So then Radharani said, Lite, he has the advantage. Krishna has the advantage because he has our clothes and we have none. We have no position to bargain with him. We must get his favor. Anyway, the pastime goes on and on, I'll tell it in Vrindavan. But this is the kind of news that King Kamsa was hearing. So when he heard about this, oh, he's 7 years old boy, he's stealing gopis' clothes, he's playing with them like this. It seems to me that he is enjoying transcendental bliss. But the spies, of course, the spies are also very expert at editing. You know what editing means? Editing means chopping. So the spies were there, and they heard that Krishna spoke in a very disparagingly and very Krishna spoke in a very contemptuous way of King Kamsa. But the spies didn't repeat that, because Kamsa is their boss. If they give Kamsa some bad news, then the head gets cut off. So Kamsa was thinking, I am so envious of this Krishna. I have sent so many my allies, my friends, I've sent them to Vrindavan to kill that boy. Because envy means a type of hatred. It's actually a hatred. And when envy burns and boils to the epitome, to the zenith point, then that envy becomes hatred. That hatred becomes accelerated to such a degree that someone may perform violence. Crimes of envy is very famous throughout the annals of history. It's a subject of literature. Crimes of envy. someone becomes envious. Ooh, and then they kill that person. They become envious of someone's beauty, so then they kill the beautiful person. Or they become envious of someone's money, and they can't get it, so they say, at least I can kill him. Well, this is intense envy, intense hatred. So Kamsa was like that. He couldn't taste the bliss. Because, why? Because he's a demon. He's the anti-party. He's atheist. He didn't want to surrender to Krishna. He wanted to be the enjoyer. Be a competing god. So then he had all his friends. He had many mystic yogis because he was very powerful. So he conquered many people with his own powers. He was surrounded by kings. Kamsa was surrounded by kings. He was surrounded by mystic yogis who were they had all proficiency in Ashta cities. Anima city, Lagima city, Prapti city, Kamavalyasita city, all these Ashta cities. These yogis, these men that were surrounding King Kamsa, they were his allies, his cohorts. So King Kamsa, he asked his yogi friends, he said, listen, go there to Vrindavan and destroy that little rascal. Kill that little kid. Just see the envy. He was so envious of Krishna. When Krishna was 6 days old, he was a defenseless, innocent baby in the crib. Kamsa called one of his monsters. He called a Kachari. Do you know what a Kachari is? Chala means movement and K means sky. One who moves through the sky. Have you ever heard of a witch? So they take a broomstick and they fly in the sky. So these are yogis. This Putana was a yogini, a female yogi. Her name was Putana. That person which puts everybody in hell. Put means hell. Her favorite pastime was to suck the blood of babies. So Dr. Frankenstein and all the Count Dracula and all these characters, there's nothing new. This is 5,000 years ago, described in the Puranas of India. Bhagavat Puran, Skanda Puran, Vishnu Puran. Putana, blood-sucking witch. And babies, not even adults. So he called, comes and said, listen, you go and you kill that little boy. He's just been born, he's 6 days old, and it's the prophecy. Do you know, Putana, what the prophecy is? The sages have told me that there's a prophecy on my very life that in the future a child will be born to Devaki and Vasudev. And that boy will grow up. And when that boy is destined, the prophecy is that he will kill me. And his name is... I can't say it. And then one of his servants says, one of the servants of Kamsa says, you mean Krishna? And that is the prophecy that Krishna would kill Kamsa. Everyone knows that he did. Kamsa was afraid. He was afraid of a 6-day-old baby. Can a 6-day-old baby kill a hero, a superhero like Kamsa? Is it possible? But he was afraid. He was envious. So he said, Putana, you go kill him. So she came, dressed up so beautifully like a celestial damsel. But she's very tricky. She put on her breast, she rubbed so much poison on her breast. And then she posed herself as a nursemaid, a dhatri, a nurse, and said, Krishna, come. And she came to Mother, in Gokul, to Mother Yashoda, where Krishna is staying. Said, oh, I've come, I've heard about your Lala, your beautiful baby. May I hold him in my hands? I have some milk in me, may I give him some milk? Yes, yes, you go. Then she picked up the baby and she looked around. and saw that Mother Yashoda and all, Rohini, all the different elderly ladies, they're busy making these cow dung patties. You know, they pick up the cow dung and then they make these things later. That when it dries, they cook chapatis with it. And they were busy sweeping, doing household domestic duties. They didn't pay attention. Some nurses come, beautiful lady dressed up so nice. She wants to play with my boy. So she, Putina looked like this. Ha ha. She grabbed Krishna. She flew in the air. She's a witch. She flew in the sky and said, and put Krishna here, come take my breast. Krishna said, okay. So Krishna put her breast in his mouth and started taking the milk. Then meanwhile, she's flying in the skies. Wow, this is amazing. Every time I sit with Mother Yashoda, I take her breast in my mouth and I take her breast milk. But I never flew in the sky before. This is really the way to go. So Krishna's flying around Vrindavan with this witch and sucking this milk. When there's supposed to be all this poison there to kill 100 men. It didn't affect Krishna. He's a bigger yogi. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, in the last verse of Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. That Krishna is the greatest yogi. He's the Ishvara. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. He's a controller of all yogis. Mahayogi is Krishna. So Krishna, he said, oh, you're trying to kill me? That's not a good idea. So then Krishna killed that witch. One by one, Kamsa was sending different monsters. He would tell these yogis, he said, don't go as a yogi. Because Krishna will recognize, if you come as a yogi, Krishna will say, wait a minute, who are you? You have to go there, disguise yourself as an animal. You're a mystic yogi, you can change your form. These great mystics, they can appear as human beings. They can appear as animals, as goats, as dogs. They can change their form. But Krishna is always going out to the pasture. He plays in the forest, in the woods. He loves the country. He's going there every day. So you go there. But disguise yourself as an animal, as a snake, as a bird, something. So they would do that. They came, one yogi took the form of a gigantic, monstrous snake. Another yogi became a monstrous crane, dinosaur birds. And there's big drama and whatever. So this one huge crane was like prehistoric proportions. Huge crane came, just like out of these movies, monster. And it came down and said, with the intention of swallowing Krishna. And Krishna said, okay, you want to swallow me? Okay, swallow me. So then he put Krishna in his mouth. Krishna says, oh, because Krishna was thinking, what does it look like inside the mouth of a giant crane? Because kids are curious. He's only a few years old. He's just a kid, 3-4 years old kid. Young kids are very curious. Why this? How's this? What's this like? What's this, that? So he said, okay, that's interesting. I never saw the inside of the mouth of a crane. So Krishna went inside with the boys. Hey, look at that. Amazing in here. Then they were saying, oh, kind of stinks in here. Inside the mouth. And this huge monstrous crane was like 100 stories high. Huge. Biggest monster you could imagine. Trying to kill Krishna. So boys were inside the mouth of that huge crane, and then Krishna said, oh, it's stinking in here. This inside the mouth is stinking. And Krishna said, let's get out of here. So then Krishna, they just came out. And they said, you're trying to kill me. And then Krishna took his beak like this and put his foot down on the bottom part and took the top part. And just this big monster just split his beak in half like this. Ah. And he was finished. So he was finished. All these monsters that Kamsa sent to Vrindavan were killed by Krishna. He sent snake monsters, crane monsters. What other kind of monsters? Cranes, snakes, and witches. What else? And then ghosts. He sent his ghost inside a cart. He was hiding inside a cart, a ghost. And a whirlwind. He sent a whirlwind monster, like a big tornado. One yogi became a tornado. And took Krishna up in the sky, and Krishna was flying all around. It was nice because there was no airplanes then. This is the first airplane. Krishna, this yogi became a cyclone, a hurricane. And Krishna was just in his yard playing, all the whoop! Krishna's flying. So, wow! Sometimes the boys, when they're on the ground, they play a game. There's one game that coward boys play on the banks of the Jamuna. They take a stick and they make a circle, right? They make a circle about 10 feet in diameter, or let's say 3 meters wide. I mean diameter, right? Or maybe 5 meters, very a circle on the sand, flat part of the sand, the coward boys. Now, one boy, then they have a contest. You have to stay within that circle. So now each boy goes into the center of the circle. And they have to spin it, they have to hold their hands out like this, and they start spinning. Like this. And then the boys clap and sing some songs. The boys are all around the perimeter of the circle, and one boy goes in the center. If he comes out, he has to go keep spinning around like, he gets spinning around like this. Like whirling dervish. And then he goes like this. And he spins, and they sing, and he keeps spinning. And then they time it. Whoever can spin the longest. If you come outside, while you're spinning, if you lose your balance, come outside the circle, then the boys out there just throw you in the Yamuna. Because it's right on the banks of the river. So they're spinning, and then all the boys surrounding it. And if you hit a boy, then they push you back in. But then if they feel like throwing you, then they take you, whoop, and then you go fly in it. You're all dizzy and you land like this. So this is a nice game they play. It's called spin your head around. So now Krishna's thinking, I'm riding in this whirlwind demon, this cyclone demon, Trinavrata. And I'm going around and around, because Krishna's in the center, he's going around and around, he said, wow. And he just kept falling on the, because it's all clouds, he was going, enjoying like anything, Krishna was going around and around, spinning around, he said, this is like an endless circle. He's really enjoying, because he was going like this, in the sky, because that's how the cyclone goes, tornado. And then he came to understand, oh, wait a minute, what is this anyway? We've never had one of these in Vrindavan before. This is not a cyclone region. This is not a coastal region. This is a land area. I've never heard about any of these cyclones before from the sages or rishis or my father. This is most unusual phenomenon. So then he realized, this is a demon. This is some rakshas. It wants to kill me. Sent by that wicked Kamsa? Oh, this guy is so stupid. So then Krishna said, all right. And then Krishna just became Mahima Siddhi. Mahima Siddhi. Mahima Siddhi means become heavier than the heaviest. So heavy that nothing can move you. So Krishna became so heavy. So that demon who took the form of this cyclone, Krishna went, he just pushed him. That's so heavy that it just came all the way down the ground, just smashed on the ground on a big rock. And he killed that demon. So now Kamsa doesn't know what to do. So one of his ministers has said, listen, Krishna is Gopal. Right? His name is Gopal. His name is Govinda. He's a lover of the cows, a protector of the cows. Gopal. Pala means protector. Palana. He protects cows. Every day he's going out with so many cows and bulls. Every day he's going out with cows and bulls. So now you've sent so many monsters, snake monsters and whirlwind monsters and these crane monsters and all these different snake monsters, all these different kinds of demons and monsters have not killed him. Now he'll be suspicious. He'll be suspicious if he sees any huge crane or huge snake. But Krishna will never be suspicious of a bull. If you go as a bull or a cow, he loves the cows and bulls. He's with them every day. So he called one very powerful yogi. And he said, you become a bull and you go there. So he became a bull. This yogi became a huge bull. Aristasura. His name was Aristasura. It's in Bhagavad Puran. So he came here and Krishna was collected all the gopis over here for rasa dance. So then this Aristasura came and then Krishna said, and he came and he saw Krishna and didn't waste any time. He immediately tried to attack Krishna. Krishna said, what? What, Ari? What is this? Is a bull coming to kill me? This is a most unusual thing. The bulls love me. I love the bulls. I care for them. They care for me. So then Krishna said, what is this? And Krishna took his flute and he played his, maybe his little angry bull. Maybe some other bull bumped him and he got a little angry. So Krishna played his flute. Usually when the bull hears the flute, then he relaxes, stops fighting. And he kept coming. Hey! He kept attacking him. He said, wait a minute. This is not any ordinary bull. He put his flute back in his, tucked back in his dhoti. And he said, then he understood. Oh, Kamsa? Now you send somebody who's a bull to kill me? This is very embarrassing. Because I protect the cows and bulls. And it's a great sin, gohatya. Gohatya. To kill a cow or bull is a great sin in the Shastras, which I have compiled myself, Krishna's telling. Anyway, so then Krishna, he fought with this demon. And he killed this bull. Then the gopis said, oh, Krishna, you want to dance with us? But you know, our bodies are pure. You want to have rasa dance here in this place by Govardhan. But now you're sinful. You killed a cow, you killed a bull. Gohatya. And Krishna said, wait a minute. Why are you being so unreasonable? Don't you understand? He was a mystic yogi, became a demon, tried to kill me? No. You see the Shastra? A bull is a bull. He came in the form of a bull. You're making up a story. We don't know. All we can see is you're there, and there's a dead bull next to you. You make some story, it's a demon, and he tried to kill me. This, I don't know. We see the evidence is clear. I said, Ray, what do you want me to do? He said, you have to do some atonement. You have to purify yourself. You have a big sin on your head. You have to become free from that sin by doing some fasting or penance or prayers or something. Get the mercy of Vishnu. What do you suggest? Krishna said. And they said, well, you should go to all the holy places and bathe over there. Bathe in Ganga and Haridwar, and bathe in Kaveri and South India, and Jumona and Vrindavan and Mathura. Go everywhere. Go all the sacred tirthas, holy places. Take all the sacred baths. And Krishna was thinking, I have to do that? I'll be gone for days. It'll take me days and months to walk to all these places. Listen, gopis. I'm going to call all those holy places here. I'm going to call all the sacred rivers here, all the holy places here, Prayag and Kashi and Varanasi and every place, Ayodhya, every place I'm calling here. And then I'll bathe right here, right in front of you. So then Krishna took his foot. He put his foot in one depression in the earth, which was left by the hoof print of that bull. Very big. Krishna put his foot there and pushed it down. And made a nice lake, big enough lake to bathe in. Like a bathing pool. All the holy places came with folded hands. All the sacred rivers, all the devis. Jamuna Devi, Ganga Devi, Kaveri Devi, Godavari Devi, Saraswati Devi, all the goddesses of the holy rivers of India, they came. O Prabhu, O Bhagavan, O Sri Krishna, how may we serve you? Please, you fill up this bathing pool. And all of you personified holy places you enter here, you mix up over here, and sanctify and purify this entire place. So meanwhile, the gopis are watching this display, amazing display, all these people coming in from all directions, landing there and appearing in front of them, right here in this place. And Krishna said, see, I don't have to go, I don't have to take a step out of Vrindavan. I don't have to leave your sight. You wanted me to go to Haridwar, Rishikesh, South India, everywhere. And the gopis said, I don't know what you do, some jadu, you're doing some jadu. Some magic and made all these people to come. I don't know. Anyway, we're simple girls. Okay, you bathe over there. So Krishna bathed. And that kund that he made at that time is called Shamakund. And it's right here, Shamakund. But now Krishna became very proud. He said, listen, I did this wonderful good thing. I brought all these holy places here. I made this beautiful lake now. This beautiful sacred lake has come here to Vrindavan. I did a very good thing. But what have you gopis done? You simply made false accusation against me that I killed this bull who's actually a demon in disguise of that form. You haven't done anything good. False accusations against me. You're defaming me. I don't want to meet with you. Then the gopis say, really? We haven't done anything good. You think that? So then Radharani said, come on, hey Sakhi. So they took off their bangles. They all had these kankan. Kankan means gold bangles. They took off their gold bangles. They said, listen, Shyam, we're going to make a kund. We're going to make our own bathing tank better than yours. So now when Krishna made his bathing tank, his bathing kund, as I said, he put his foot down on the ground. So his bathing tank, his kund, or his lake, is shaped like his foot. Put his foot down. This is shaped like Krishna's foot. Shyamakunda is the shape of Krishna's foot. Now the gopis start digging with their bangles, taking out the mud, putting it on the side. Thousands of gopis with a bangle. It's not exactly a shovel. A bangle is a round thing like this. Right? This is a bangle. Digging. And then they made a very beautiful kund, perfectly square. One straight side, another straight side. Very nice and even. Very nice. And then Krishna said, all right, very nice kund you made. Looking, and they said, the Sakhi said, look at our kund. Your kund is so irregular shaped. This goes this way, that way, this way. It's not looking very nice. Look at our Swamini. Look at our Radhika. Look at nice kund. How nice she made her kund. See, straight. See, our Radharani, she's so nice. She's behaved so nice, so straight, so perfect. So, but you're a crooked person. Yeah, everything's crooked about you. Krishna, you're crooked. You killed this bull. That's a very crooked deed. And you stand like this, with your neck bent like this, and then your waist like this, and your one leg over the other. You stand in a very crooked way. But our Radharani, she stands just so nice. Very straight, very even, very good posture. You can't even stand up straight. Your posture is very bad. You're always crooked. And if you're not standing like threefold form, then you have to lean on somebody. You lean on your coward boyfriend. You put your shoulder on a coward boyfriend. And if there's no coward boy there, then you get some stick. And you put some stick like this and you lean on a stick. You either got to lean on a stick, or you lean on your friend, or you stand like this to balance yourself. There's nothing straight about you. You can't stand straight. You can't walk straight. And you can't speak straight. And you can't act straight. Do you know why? Because we think your brain is bent. Your brain is crooked. So everything you do is crooked. And that's why your kund is shaped like funny shape. Narrow, wide, this, that way. So then Krishna was thinking, oh, very pinching words. The gopis are pinching me with their sarcastic words, but I cannot defend myself because everything they said is perfectly true. I'm a very crooked person. But my only doubt in my mind is I'm very crooked. I steal. I lie. I cheat. It's a fact. I'm very crooked. I'm crooked God. I am the crooked God. But the thing is, it puzzles me, that creates a doubt in my mind, is that these gopis are criticizing me and ridiculing me. That is their love taunts. It's called love taunts. The taunts of a lover. So I relish it. But the thing that puzzles me is, these few gopis here, they're ridiculing me, but I have been told by some rishis, Shandilya Muni, Durvasa Muni, Garga Muni, some of the great rishis that come to my father's palace, I have heard from them that actually millions and millions and millions of people worship me around the world. I've heard like that, even though I'm so bad and I'm so crooked. So Krishna tells this to the gopis. And they say, what are you talking about? You're saying that millions of people around the world worship you? Well, we're people, and we're in this world, and we will never worship you. So your finding is completely wrong. And they're joking like this, going back. It's called lover's quarrel, like this. It's called Prem Kalaha. Prem Kalaha means lover's quarrel. The gopis are loving it. Krishna's loving it. So then Krishna says, all right. Hey, Radhe. Where will you get water to fill your kund? Then the gopis meet. Because Krishna said, you can take water from my kund to fill your kund. Then Radharani, after meeting with the Sakis, she said, impossible. That water of your kund is completely contaminated by the sin of your killing the bull. And you, because you bathe there, that's polluted water. So where will you get water from then? We are expert at carrying water, as you very well know. Have you not seen us before? Walking in the village with a beautiful pot, clay pot on our head full of water, and another pot on top of that, and another pot on top of that. 3 pots, 50 kilos of water, and we walk so demurely and so effortlessly. We are gopis. Water carrying is our business. We are expert. We never drop, not one drop of water falls from the pot. We will go to Manasi Ganga, 5 kilometers south of here. We will bring Ganga, Manasi Ganga water, we will bring here and fill Swamini Radha's kund. Krishna says, 5 kilometers? It's so long. It will take so long, long, long. And we listen, we have a rasa dance. We're supposed to dance. And you'll be busy all night, day, filling your kund, and the sun will come and we have to run home and no dance. We didn't come here to carry water, we came here to dance. When you go to a party, you don't go there to carry a bottle of water around. You go to dance and have fun. Right? So then, Krishna, very much eager to be with Radharani and the gopis in the rasa dance, which was the reason they came here to begin with. And this was all an interlude, this demon coming and this kunz and all this whole leela pastime. So then Krishna said, listen, then Krishna called the holy places. Listen, you, Krishna, Radharani will listen to me. You petition Radharani, you beg Radharani. So Prayagraj, Tirtharaj, Prayagraj, on behalf of all the Tirthas, then Ganga Devi, Jamuna, Saraswati, oh Radharani, this is our prayer at your lotus feet. Will you please be so kind upon us? We have come such a long, long way to this beautiful place of Vrindavan. It is all of our heartfelt wish that you will kindly somehow, in some small way, engage us in your service. Can we be of some use to you? Just little use. Can we carry our waters and fill your kund also? That please be kind to us. You are Karunamayi Radha. You are very merciful. Please be kind to us. Give us the opportunity to serve your lotus feet. Please, just one time. So then, they immediately, what happened? That was at midnight, 12 o'clock midnight, Bahulashtami, Kartik month. October, November, and fall. Immediately, all the water from Samarkand, they broke a dam, a canal, you can say, a hole in the wall, in the side, boundary, bank, and it rushed into the hole that all the gopis dug, Kankan Kund. And then all the water from Samarkand went into Radhakund. Now Radharani, to show that she was accepting this whole arrangement by Krishna, she came to Samarkand and she bathed in Samarkand. Although previously she was accusing Krishna that this water is all contaminated and cannot be utilized. But now she came with her sakis and she bathed. And she said, this water is wonderful. If anyone who comes here and bathes in the future in this Samarkand, they will become very dear to me. They'll become very dear servants of Radharani. Then Krishna, in the mood of the exchange, he walked over to Radhakund and he bathed in Radha's kund. And he said, Radharani, this water is just like you. With the touch of this water, I feel the touch of your hands. With the embrace of this water, I feel the embrace of your arms. With the taste of this water, I feel the taste of your lips. This Radhakund is not different. It's Sakshat Radha. It is not different from you. And I will bless anyone who bathes in this Samarkand in the future. They will become very, very dear to me. This is the blessing that I give. But not only that, Radharani, to show that you are my Swamini, you are my Priyatam. Priyatam. Priya means dear. Oh, Priya, Priyaji. But Priyatam means Uttam, Priya. Very top Priya. Topmost beloved. Radharani, I will give a blessing. I will give a prophecy that your kund will become more famous. Your kund, your bathing place, will become more famous than my kund. Although they're side by side. There's Radhakund, Samarkand existing from the same time. But your kund will become supremely famous throughout the world for all time. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. And so be it. Everyone can see. Any direction you come from India, if you see the road sign, it says Radhakund, 10 kilometers, 3 kilometers. You look on the map, Radhakund. The name of this village is Radhakund. The post office is Radhakund. There is no mention of Samarkand, because this is Krishna's will. Some people say, if you're in Vrindavan, you're in Delhi, someone says, where are you going? I'm going to Radhakund. Why don't you say Samarkand? Samarkand? Oh yeah, he's there also. Also there's Samarkand, but Radhakund is... We're going Radhakund. If he's there, okay. If he's not there, okay. But Radharani must be there. So this is how these kunds came about 5,000 years ago. Then after that, after they bathed in these kunds and Radha and Krishna fulfilled their desire, have beautiful rasa dance here. So this place, this Radhakund, is a site of all the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, of his swing pastimes on a swing with Radharani, wandering through the forest, it's called Banbihar, his pastimes of swimming with Radharani, sporting, splashing water. And then eating wonderful food in this forest. Of course, now it's many buildings and we can't really see what it was like then or what it is in the spiritual dimension. Because we're existing in the time frame. Time frame is past, present, and future. So things get debilitated. Things are created and things diminish and things disappear. That's the time factor. Krishna says in Gita, Kala Smi, time I am. Kalosmi, I am that time factor. But the spiritual world is timeless. There is no past, no present, no future. So Radhakund exists eternally. All the beauty of Radhakund exists eternally. All the kunjas and groves and forest glens and arbors, they're all existing eternally. And this three dimension that we live in, length and width and depth, is all under the control of the time factor. But the spiritual dimension, which we all have connection with, is called the fourth dimension, beyond time, the timeless realm. And this is where God exists, and this is where liberated, freed souls exist there. So Radhakund is existing with all this beauty, and all this, when we read the scriptures, there's so many descriptions about the beauty of Radhakund, and I want to read an excerpt from one scripture that we can maybe, you can say, close our eyes or imagine or try to visualize in the recesses of our mind what Radhakund actually looks like. Those visionaries, those seers of the truth, those realized souls, that they can actually enter the timeless area. Because we're all spiritual beings. We all have some access there. Like we have these phrases like internet access. Is it right? Internet access. You get access to internet. So every soul has an access to the spiritual world. We have an access to the spiritual dimension. How do we approach that level? How do we enter that level? Firstly, we have to have a spiritual body, pure spiritual body. But we can begin to enter that level through meditation. This mind, the mind that we all have, we can actually use to approach that timeless realm by thinking about it. So all the great saints and sages who are liberated, who are living in that fourth dimensional plane of spiritual reality, they have written about that dimension. They're seeing it. That's why they're called seers. S-E-E-R. Seer. Seers of a higher truth, a more sublime reality. Beyond the cover. Beyond the cover. We're all covered. We have so many layers and coverings. The physical layer, the mental layer, the psychic layer, the emotional layer, intellectual layer, identity layer, ego, intelligence, mind, senses, body, heart. These are all coverings of the Atma, pure Atma. But such realized sages, they penetrate the higher dimension, and like sometimes they say, oh, people have visions, or people hear special sounds that ordinary people don't hear. Even in our mundane experience, there's something called a dog whistle. You know dog whistle? You blow. We cannot hear that whistle. You know whistle? You know whistle? Whistle. But the dog hears it. It's imperceptible to our ears because our ears have a limited range of sense perception. 20 decibels to 20,000. But this whistle is going 60,000, 40,000. The dog hears it. So he's in the body who can hear more than we can. So some people, human beings, they can hear celestial sounds. They hear the music of the spheres. Because there's music. Because there are planets even nearby the Earth planet where there's music going on. Heavenly ranges. Heavenly realms. So similarly, the self-realized souls, they have the power, the drishti, the power of bhav, by the power of their pure transcendental love and realization, they can see the spiritual dimension. They can hear the spiritual sounds. They can smell the spiritual smells. And then they write about them as best they can convey. So we can have some understanding or some look, introspection or some look at that realm. So Radhakund is that beautiful spiritual place. And the scriptures describe it in a way like this. So this is the higher spiritual dimension where God plays with His loving devotees. Like we say, Leela. We say Krishna Leela. People have heard this term, Krishna Leela. Or this is Leela Bhumi. Leela Purushottam Sri Krishna. So Leela means play. Play. It means play, to just play and cavort and to enjoy. It also means drama, like a play. There's Nayaka, Nayak. There are heroes and heroines. The star and the co-star, the hero and the heroine. So there's so much exchange of rasa, so much exchange of feelings. Feelings of heroism, feelings of chivalry and fright and ghastliness and intimacy. Many, many kinds of feelings. Laughter, we wonder, all these feelings are there, even in the spiritual dimension. So Krishna, those that enter the spiritual dimension, they enjoyed Leela, they enjoyed play with Krishna. Leela means play. So Krishna is the Lord of play. There are gods that create, there are gods that destroy, there are gods that maintain. They are expansions and aspects of Krishna. But if we think of God, there was one German person came here, 1930s, to Vrindavan, and he saw one exhibit, a theistic exhibit, of different statues and what they call dioramas, different statues, showing the different incarnations and avatars of God in India and different forms of the Lord. And there was the Nrisimha avatar, the lion god, there was the fish god, there was Vishnu, there was Ramchandra with the bow and arrow, Lord Ramchandra with the bow, there was Parasram with the big chopper, all different forms, and Vishnu had his chakra, Vishnu was there, Narayan, Vishnu, Ram, Nrisimha, Vamanadeva, all the different forms of God, all these statues and dioramas, one exhibit after another. So this German, professor, he was visiting India, looking at these statues and exhibits, and everywhere he saw these different forms of God, they were doing something. They were working. They were creating, they were killing some demon, or they were protecting some devotee, or they were creating or destroying, doing something, working, doing something. Then he came to one exhibit that showed Krishna. He said, this is the God Krishna. And he was on a swing. He was sitting on a swing under a tree, made a statue made of a tree, and he was just sitting there swinging. Radharani was on his left side, and he had his arm like this around Radharani, and one hand on around Radharani, and like this on the ropes. Radharani's here. And that diorama was made so the swing was moving. There was some arrangement so it was moving. And the German professor said, "What is this exhibit here? What God is this?" "Oh, this exhibit, this is Krishna." "But what is he doing?" "He's just swinging under this tree. He's swinging under this tree with his girlfriend." "His girlfriend? But all those other gods you show me," said, that's Lakshmi. She's the queen of this god, Narayan, Vishnu. This is Sita. She's the queen of this god, Ram, like this. So now, this God, he's just swinging. He looks so happy. He's not doing anything. No, this Krishna, he doesn't do anything. He's not creating anything. No, this Krishna doesn't create anything. He's not destroying anything. No, he's not destroying anything. Well, what does this God do? Because you showed me and told me all the activities of the other gods. What does this God Krishna do? Well, Krishna, all he does is play. He only plays day and night. He's playing, playing, playing. And then that German professor was an atheist. He said, "Yes, this is the correct idea of God. This is the correct idea of God. He's always playing." Now, I'm an atheist, and I never believed in God. I came to India, I saw this exhibit. Now I think, if that's God, if this is true, that God is always playing, then I can think about worshiping that God. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan is he Krishna ki. So this is Krishna. He is existing in the dimension of eternal, unlimited play. And this is his favorite place to play, Radhakund. Surrounding Radhakund and Shyamakund are beautiful wish-fulfilling trees. Mango trees, bakul trees, kadamba and champak. There are beautiful swings hanging from these various trees, which are inlaid with different jewels to look very attractive. And there's beautiful flower garlands wrapped around the ropes of these swings, and beautiful flowers blossoming in the trees, and all flowers everywhere, giving a beautiful scent and fragrance to the whole atmosphere. All the trees are laden with beautiful, fully ripened, juicy, tasty fruits and very fragrant flowers. This is a speciality of trees in Vrindavan. They simultaneously have flowers and they simultaneously have fruits. Usually a flower comes first, the fruit comes later. But in the spiritual world, all the flowers are there, and they're smelling beautifully, and all the fruits are there, and they're tasting deliciously. Around the bases of these trees, these beautiful trees, mango and bakul, champak, around the bases of these trees there's basins, there's little water pools, and they're all jeweled inlaid and very beautiful, and they give a nice cooling temperature to the air and look very beautiful under the trees. Some have surrounded with water, and then the birds come there and drink the water underneath the trees. And there's some very interesting phenomenon. When Krishna plays his vamshi, then everything becomes upside down. Everything becomes reversed. That which is moving stops moving. That which is not moving starts moving. That which is moving this way starts moving that way. So Krishna plays his flute in different ways. All of us have heard the sound of Krishna's flute by hearing the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna's flute has entered this world through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's distribution. Lord Chaitanya is distributing Krishna's flute. The vibration of Krishna's flute is being distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of the Maha Mantra. And when people hear around the world, when people hear the Maha Mantra distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his faithful followers, when they hear this mantra enters the ear, then what happens? People start going in the opposite direction. People start walking in the opposite direction. People start thinking in an opposite way. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know why, but I'm feeling, I've always been thinking one way about my food that I eat, but now I'm thinking, I want to become a vegetarian. I want to be a vegetarian. Huh. Acha. That's an interesting idea. Hare Krishna. My mind has been turned this way. And all my life, I've been trying to find material happiness and material enjoyment through this pursuit and that pursuit, physical pursuits and intellectual pursuits and mental pursuits and expressive creative pursuits, this endeavor, that endeavor, trying this direction, that direction to find happiness and joy in this material world. That's the goal of life, and that's the purpose of life. But now this flute sound of Krishna, this flute sound of Krishna has entered my ear in the form of this Hare Krishna mantra, and now I'm thinking, oh, I'm disgusted with this way of life. I'm fed up with this way of life. I don't want to live like this anymore. Everyone's just going to death. And just ends. What is it? There must be some higher purpose. Actually, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I think I want to go to God. I think happiness is with God and with serving God and realizing God. And forget about all these people and all this world and all these engagements and all these mundane activities. The person starts going in a completely opposite direction. And his friends and relatives think, what happened? This guy went crazy. He's brainwashed. He must be brainwashed. So that's what happens when Krishna plays his flute. Everything goes in the opposite direction. Krishna plays his flute, and the rocks on Govardhan, the solid granite rocks, the hard rocks on Govardhan Hill, they start melting into pools of ecstasy. And granite rivers start flowing down the sides of Govardhan Hill. Rock rivers, rivers of molten rock. Coral, molten coral, red rivers, and molten diamond crystal rivers, and molten lapis lazuli, blue rivers. A really psychedelic experience. And that's just when Krishna playing the flute, what happens to the rocks? And the river Yamuna is coming from Jamunotri in the Himalayas, going south, ultimately to the ocean. Rushing. Krishna plays his flute under the Vamshibhat, under the banyan tree in the banks of the Yamuna. And all of a sudden Yamuna reverses its course and starts going back towards the Himalayas. And all the rishis, whenever they offer tarpan, they take bath in Yamuna, then they take some Yamuna, they offer it back to the Yamuna. So you're supposed to offer the water towards the direction of the current. So they're going like this, looking at Yamunotri, looking at Himalayas. Jumone, and offering the water back. And all of a sudden they're looking like this, hey, the water's coming from backside, because it changed direction. And the whole life they're offering water like this. This is the law, this is the scriptural injunction. But now the water's coming, they get bewildered and they start turning like this. Meanwhile, in Radhakund, at these basins below the tree, the birds, the parrots come there, the peacocks come there, the chakravakas come there, and they put their beaks inside the water, they drink the water in those gem-studded water basins at the bases of these trees. So they're drinking the water, right? But when Krishna plays his flute, what happens to that water? It freezes solid. That water turns into ice. Solid ice. Because liquid objects become solid. Solid objects become liquid. So what happens to the little birdies? The birdies are putting their beaks in the water and they're drinking water and all of a sudden it freezes. And their beaks are stuck. And you can imagine being a bird and your nose is stuck and you're drinking water, it turns into ice. You can't move your head. It's a very funny scene, if you can imagine. Just imagine. So this is what happens. The acharyas describe this in the books. So when Krishna, all the cowboys and the gopis see this, and what do? They laugh. It's funny. It's a funny sight. Imagine you're walking along, you see it, but hey, look at that. Ha ha ha. So everybody laughs. And what do the birds do? What do the birds do that have their beaks stuck over there? They laugh also. They're laughing birds. So then Krishna hits one other note, and then the water becomes water again, and then they free the. So this is Leela. Krishna's playing. So all of us have heard Krishna's flute, and we've gone upside down, different direction. Below these trees are these water basins. And some trees have platforms, beautiful platforms. As you see, oftentimes you see in Vrindavan or holy place or any place, some tree will have some stone platform under it, so people can sit under the shade, under the tree in the shade and relax on the platform or go to sleep on the platform. So here in Radhakund, those same platforms are there, and they're all made of different jewels. But there's something very special about these platforms because they're spiritual. There must be something special about spiritual things and spiritual places. So these platforms, in the winter time, it's quite cold over here in Vrindavan, these platforms are automatically warm. They're very warm. They're warm in the winter, and then in the summertime, when Radha and Krishna sit there, the platforms are air-conditioned. They're ice cold. Very, very nice. So this is a very special, beautiful thing of Radhakund. Because we don't find these type of things anywhere else. These are very special. Because Radha and Krishna, everything here in Radhakund, every inch of Radhakund is arranged to give the topmost pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Perched in the tree, the branches of the tree, the cuckoos are cooing, the peacocks are wandering about on the ground, sometimes dancing, opening their fans, their peacock fans, and they're singing, kekaw, 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 kekaw. No, like something like that. And in the Radhakund and Shyamakund, there's red, yellow, and blue lotus flowers bobbing in the waves. And there's swans gliding along the water of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And then there's honeybees. Honeybees are buzzing all around, make a nice buzzing sound. It kind of excites the atmosphere. And whenever you live in the country, in the daytime, if you're in the countryside and there's no buzzing of bees, it's rather boring. Buzzing bees add a very nice flavor to being in the countryside. Anyone who's been in the countryside knows what it's like with buzzing bees and without buzzing bees. So in Vrindavan and Radhakund, there's so many thousands and thousands of buzzing bees. And they really, Krishna and Radharani, when they hear these buzzing bees, it reminds them. It reminds them of Cupid. The buzzing of the bees, the humming of the bees reminds them of Kamadev. And so they feel very, very, excites the buzzing of the bees in the forest atmosphere around Radhakund and all the kunjas and groves and arbors. That buzzing of the bees really excites the air. It fills the air with a romantic enchantment. Romantic enchantment. Because atmosphere, everything is atmosphere. So Krishna, this Yogamaya and Brindadevi and Yogamaya together, they arrange this Vrindavan in such a way, especially Radhakund, that the atmosphere is so enchanting and so romantic. It's just totally concentrated and saturated with this beautiful feeling. And then there's parrots and mynas are perched in the treetops and are reciting poetry to please the mind and hearts. And there's many deer, there's spotted deer wandering about here and there. And all the different six seasons join together here at Radhakund to serve Priya Priyatam. And they all serve under the guidance of spring. So since we're in the mood of meditating and you're hearing this description coming directly into your ears, and that's a nice direct connection with Radhakund through the ears. So there's a nice pastime of Julin. Well, first I want to read about these parrots. These parrots, they're talking parrots, but they have a very... In the Western world, we also have parrots that talk, but they're not very intelligent. They say one or two words. You can teach a parrot to say, like a sentence, Paliwana cracker, or you can teach a parrot to say Krishna, or different words, a few phrases. But here in Vrindavan, Krishna's parrots, they're expert. And they have names. The parrots have names like Daksha, Vichakshana. Vichakshana means he's very expert in speaking. Chakshu, Akshu. He's very expert, Vichakshu. And these parrots, they talk. Radha and Krishna, sometimes they go in a beautiful grove. There's a grove of trees and brambles and shrubs, kind of make a little confidential circle, very private little area. And then the trees are bending down in such a way that there's like a little cottage there, a little cottage, a natural cottage. And Radha and Krishna go inside there, and all the sakis and gopi mandris, they make beautiful bed there for Radha and Krishna. It's made out of flower petals. Flower petal bed, very, very beautiful. And Radha and Krishna recline on this bed. After they splash in the water, they recline on this bed and they're just relaxing. And then while they're relaxing, these two parrots come in the trees above them in the branches of the Bokul tree. One male parrot and one female parrot, Shuk and Shuddy. So then they have a discussion. They have a discussion about the glories of Radharani and the glories of Krishna. The male parrot wants to establish that his Krishna, because he's Krishna's pet parrot, the male parrot belongs to Krishna, the female parrot belongs to Radharani. The male parrot wants to establish the glories of Krishna. Krishna's the top, Krishna's the best. And the female parrot wants to establish the glories of Radharani. So, the male parrot starts off by speaking to the female parrot. It says, My Krishna is called Madan Mohan. He is the enchanter of the God of love. he's so attractive and so beautiful that he, Krishna enchants, he attracts and captivates Kamadeva, the god of love. So then the female parrot heard that glory of Krishna. That may be true, but Krishna only has that power of captivation if my Radha is standing next to him. Because she transfers her shakti, her power, to Krishna. But if Radharani is not with Krishna, if by chance Krishna is alone, then your Krishna becomes totally, absolutely captivated by the god of love. He becomes totally captivated by Cupid. Then the male parrot says, "My Krishna lifted Govardhan Mountain with his pinky finger of his left hand for 7 days. So the male parrot is trying to establish the supremacy of his Lord Krishna by various statements. And one by one, the female parrot is dismantling them and establishing that, no, actually my Radha is superior to your Krishna. And then the female parrot says, "Krishna could lift, how did he lift that Govardhan hill? Do you know who he was looking at? Do you know whom he was looking at for 7 days? His mother was there, all the Brijvasis were under the hill, the cows were under the hill, the gopas, the gopis, the gopas, the coward boys, the coward girls, his mother, father, all his relatives, everyone, the whole village was under the hill, thousands of men, ladies, children, animals. And Indradev, the god of heaven, the god of the rains, he was pouring down pillars of rain and so much rain and inundation and flood everywhere. For 7 days, Krishna was looking only at one person out of those thousands of people. He was staring at Radharani. Do you know why your Krishna was staring at my Radharani? Because through his glance, through the medium of his glance, through the pathway of Krishna's glance, Krishna was drawing power from my Radharani. He was drawing the power, like you take a wire and connect it to the wall and you get the power through the wire. Through his eyes, he was drawing power from Sarva Shakti Mayi Radharani Ki. He was drawing power from my Radharani. And with that power, your Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Radharani Ki. So now the female parrot has again defeated the male parrot. Listen, Shadi. Listen, female parrot. My Krishna is the life of the whole universe. The female parrot said, "Yes, that could be true. I've heard something like that. But my Radha is the whole universe for the life of Krishna." You say that your Krishna is the life of the whole universe, but I say that my Radha is the whole universe for the life of your Krishna. Radha Rani Ki. Now the male parrot tries again to establish the supremacy of Krishna. My Krishna is so beautiful. He's wearing a yellow dhoti. He doesn't wear any shirt or no sewn cloth. He has no shirt. He just wears a yellow dhoti and throws a little cheddar around his neck like this. Covers his head with a turban, beautiful silk turban. And on the top of that turban, my Krishna places a peacock feather, mor mukut, Mora Picha. And he puts it on a very artistic Diralito way. He's a very artistic dresser. He doesn't put it straight. He's not straight. Nothing's, as you know, you gopis told us, nothing's straight about Krishna. Krishna's crooked. So he doesn't put his peacock feather like this. Ekdam straight. When my Krishna puts a peacock feather on his turban atop his head, he puts it in such a way that it bends to the left. It bends like this to the left. The peacock feather is bending to the left. And he looks so beautiful. No one can match the matchless beauty of Krishna with that dhoti and chadar and that peacock feather bending to the left. And the female parrot says, yes, indeed. Krishna looks very beautiful with that peacock feather bending to the left. But do you know why? Do you know why that peacock feather is bending to the left? Because that peacock feather on your Krishna's turban wants to bend down and offer respects at the feet of my Radha. Radha Rani Ki Jai. Then the male parrot says, all right, but now listen. My Krishna is Vrindavaneshwara. My Krishna, he is the controller of Vrindavan, all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, all the creatures, all the humans, all the animals, birds, creatures, beasts. My Krishna, he is the controller, he's the lord of them all, Vrindavaneshwara. The female parrot says, parrot laughs. Female parrot laughs. Yes. You're telling. Your Krishna is Vrindavaneshwara. The Ishwara of Vrindavan. Vrindavaneshwara. Yes, quite right. But do you know that that king of Vrindavan, your Krishna, the king of Vrindavan, he bows down and puts his head at the feet of my Radharani, who is the undisputed queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari Radha Ki Jai. Krishna loses again. Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Sham Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. The male parrot said, all right, listen. Let's not quarrel anymore. Let's not quarrel needlessly about this subject. Who is greater? Is my Krishna greater? Or is your Radha greater? Let's cooperate and eternally glorify Radha Govinda Yugo. Radha Govinda Yugo Ki. As you know, this is a place full of water. So water is something to drink, water is something to bathe in, and water is something to play in. Yes? And Krishna does all three. He drinks the water of Radhakund, he bathes in the waters of Radhakund, and he plays in the waters of Radhakund. For example, one day Radharani and all the gopis, they came to Radhakund. And Krishna, he said, let's play a game to see who can stay under the water the longest. So one gopi, I will go down, or one gopi can challenge me. I will go under water and you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15. Count how many seconds I can stay under the water holding my breath. So then The contest was two gopis. I mean, Krishna against one gopi. Both of them would dive under the water, holding their breath. And then the other gopis would count. And whoever came up the last was the winner of the game, right? And they had a very special game. Krishna set a wager for this game, because there should be some wager.
You know what wager is? No wager? Wager means when you gamble, I put 5 rubles, then you put 5 rubles, then if I win, I take. That money I put is called wager.
So Krishna said, listen, this game, we have to set a wager. I will challenge each gopi. Gopi will dive under Radhakund, I will dive under. And then whoever comes up last, he's the winner. Whoever wins this game, then I will give them a kiss. Krishna says to the gopis, if you win this game, then I will give you a kiss. So this love game in the material world is always fraught with some upheavals. Someone wins, someone loses, someone partially wins, someone partially loses. Basically, material love is a lose-lose situation. All right, back to the game of love. Prem Leela. You're listening? Every time Krishna challenged a gopi and dove under the water, he lost the game. And he was suffering terrible losses at the hands of the gopis. Because every time he dove under the water, the gopi was always, coming up later. And Krishna, he was suffering heavy, heavy losses in this game. Because every single gopi was kissing him one after the other. It was a heavy loss. He was not able to win one match, and he was not able to, from his side, kiss one gopi. It's a terrible loss, isn't it? So Krishna was losing time after time. Because what was happening, here, this makes a puzzle in our mind. How come Krishna was losing every time? Every time, remember the game. One gopi and Krishna would say, 1, 2, 3, dive under Radhakund. Now the gopis would always come up last, and Krishna would always come up before the gopi. Why is that? So Krishna was thinking, something's funny here. Every time I'm losing, I'm staying down there for so long, but yet the gopis are always staying down longer than I am. So now this time Krishna's very clever. Krishna dove under the water, and he swam to the other side of Radhakund. And he hid himself amongst some blossoming blue lotus flowers. So many clusters, no big cluster, everywhere blue lotus flowers. And Krishna's blue face was there. Another lotus flower. Obviously more beautiful, more attractive, more effulgent. But another lotus flower. And Krishna's watching the gopis. What are they doing? How am I losing every match of this diving game, this counting game? So when he looked across the Radhakund, he saw the gopis. The gopi that he was challenging was just standing like this looking at the water. Because there was a challenge. And she wasn't even wet. She was still dry. Because when they were facing each other, one gopi and Krishna, when they were facing each other, 1, 2, 3, then Krishna went down. She said, she pretended to go down, and she just stood there. So Krishna said, wait a minute. Her choli's not wet, her hair's not wet. And it's been 10 minutes, and she's looking down at the water. She's all dry, she's looking down at the water. I think I know what's going on. I think I know what's going on. I'm not that stupid. So then Krishna, unseen and secretively, dove under the water. And he swam back underneath the water, right opposite of the legs of that gopi. And then he came up slowly. When he came up, then she went down real fast and came up. As soon as he was coming up, that gopi went down. As soon as Krishna came up, that gopi went down. Dunked under the water and stayed there. Krishna came up. He said, Oh, I've been down so long. Where's that gopi? And he said, oh, Sham, she's still down. She's been down for so long. I've been down for 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, she's been down for 10, 11. I don't know how many minutes. Krishna says, you're lying. You're a liar. You cheated me all this. Every match, you would pretend that every sucky that I competed with, she would pretend to dive. I would dive under the water, wait for a minute or two, and lose my breath. I couldn't hold it any longer, and I would come back up. And as soon as I was coming up, then that very, very clever, sneaky, tricky, sucky, huh? She would dive under the water and wait for a minute and come up and say, oh, I won the match. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. You ladies are big cheaters. So in this way, Radha and Krishna, gopis used to play in the water here at Radhakund. Gopis are also very crooked. Gopis are very crooked also. They can also be crooked with Krishna and defeat him. Love is like that. Sometimes one lover is defeated, sometimes the other lover is defeated. But no one's feeling unhappy. Defeat in love is a victory of the heart. Defeat in love is a victory of the heart. Another time, Krishna thought, well, these gopis are too clever. Whenever I play any games with the gopis, which require some intelligence, then I always get defeated. These gopis always defeat me in these intelligence games. I have to think of a power game. Might is right. I have to use my power. So then one day Krishna challenged the gopis here at Radhakund. So I challenge you to a water fight. That's water splashing. And Krishna's thinking, I'm Giridhari. I'm Jagadishwar. I'm the Shringadev. I'm Anantarupam. So many arms, so much power. Mahabahu. I certainly easily can need. I am Bala. My brother is Balaram. These gopis are Abala. The name, the Sanskrit word for gopi, means Abala. Abala. Abala means no bow, no strength. They're all Abala. All these little skinny lotus stem arms, very thin arms. They have no power. They're a little clever up here. So whenever we play. When we play some board game, or we play something with the board, or we play some of these brain games, they always defeat me. But now I will defeat them. All right. Radharani, I'm standing here. I challenge you. Splash. Then Radharani says, Hare. Pah. She takes two hands. And Krishna, poof. Big splash of water. Then Krishna thinks, oh, some stiff competition. I better put some more energy into it. So, tong, tong. Then Radharani looked at her suckies and said, all right, maro. Maro means attack. Maro, maro, attack, attack. Maro, 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 attack, attack. So the gopi starts splashing Krishna. All sides. They splashed Krishna so much, his dhoti became totally drenched. His turban became totally drenched and fell off. His body was just soaking wet. His kajal from his eyes washing down his face. And the chandan on his forehead was dripping down. And the mineral pigments and all the chandan, it was just flowing off his body in streams. They're splashing him, and his necklace was going like this. There was just so much water splashing. His necklace is like this, just back like this. He was like, So then Krishna said, going like this, stop. Roko. Stop. So then Radharani says, stop. Enough. So Krishna, even in the game of water splashing, he was defeated by the gopis. He's not doing very well here at Radhakund. After all, it is Radhakund. So then the gopis, when Radharani told the gopis, stop, they didn't want to listen to him. They were just thinking, what about that time you taxed us at Sankari Kaur? You want to humiliate us. What about Don Nivartan Kun? What about Don Kati? Huh? They're just splashing so much water, remembering so many pastimes where Krishna harassed them. Remember I was carrying that water pot on my head? And you took a slingshot and you fired a rock at that water pot and smashed a hole in the back of the water pot and started leaking all over the back of my head? I had already carried that water pot 3 kilometers from that lake, from that kua, Gopi Kua. I carried that water for 3 kilometers and I was almost at my house and you were hiding in the bushes with your friends. Ha ha ha. And you had your slingshot and you went boing and you shot a rock and you hit my, and boom, and I said, totally soaked and drenched my clothes and head. All my effort was lost. That's you, Krishna. Choo, splashing. Radharani couldn't stop them. Krishna was really getting pulverized by the volleys of water. And she finally, on his face, stop, please, enough. He's practically gone. So only by the intercession of Radharani, by the mercy of Radharani, she saved Krishna. Because Krishna was crying, Radharani, save me. Everybody cries out to God, oh God, save me, Gorbachev, save me. This is Hindi, Gorbachev. So we all cry out, please save me. So we're all crying out to God, but who saves God? When God's in trouble, who's going to save him? So Krishna's in trouble. So he cries out, Radhe! Oh, Sucky, Roko, Sucky, stop. No more water, no, stop. Leave him alone. So this is another wonderful pastime happens here, described in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita and other books, Krishnaika Komudi, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, all the wonderful books by the Acharyas describing these wonderful leelas. So in spiritual circles we have wish-fulfilling trees. The trees in the Holy Dhamma Vrindavan, they're not wishing wells, they're wishing trees. And from these trees you can get anything you want. Whatever you want. Mukti, bhukti, siddhi, kami. You want material things or spiritual things or yogic powers or siddhis or perfections. Anything and everything you can get from these trees. Devotees of God are like those trees. You can get anything from a devotee. You can get everything from a devotee. Why? How is it possible? Because as I said, devotee's carrying God. He's carrying God in his heart. God is anything and God is everything. God is everywhere and God is nowhere. God is the beginning, God is the end. God is everything. There's a nice pastime about this here, about the Kalpavriksha trees of Vrindavan, which we will read. Short one. Vrindavan, as I said, when Krishna and Radharani were here, all these trees are everywhere. On one level, they looks like a flowering tree, or a fruit tree, an apple tree, a mango tree, a pear tree, banana tree. Fragrant flowers. Looks like a tree like we see anywhere in the world. But there's a difference. It is a wish-fulfilling tree. We see there's just like, for example, in Russia or anywhere, there's so many wells. Every farm, there's a well to get water. some pump or some well, you throw the bucket and bring out the bucket and get water. So many wells, thousands of wells. But is every well a wishing well? No. Only special wells. And sometimes I know even in America, people drive hundreds of miles. Maybe it's superstition, maybe it's whatever, belief, superstition. They will drive hundreds of miles, hundreds of kilometers to find that famous, special wishing well, to throw in, deposit their coin and submit their desire, what they want from that well. People go to that much trouble. They're very rare. Wishing wells are very rare. So wish-fulfilling trees are also very rare. The only place you can find wish-fulfilling trees in the entire universe are here in Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. They're here today. That's why sometimes people, they embrace a tree. This is a big fad in the Western countries. People embrace trees or embrace anything. Whatever. Embrace something. Embrace a cause. Embrace a cause. People embrace a cause. Embrace your wife. Embrace a dog, a tree, a cat, something. The whole idea is to embrace. It seems like that's the bottom line. So embrace God. People embrace these kalpavriksha trees, these wish-fulfilling trees in Vrindavan. They submit their sankalpa, their desire. Oh, holy tree, oh, sacred tree, please bless me with spiritual realization. Please bless me with a taste of transcendence. What is that? There's something pushing me from within my heart. That's something, you call it the spirit, you call it the force, you call it the soul, whatever you want to call it, give it a name. But I know that there's something pushing within my heart, upspringing within the core of my heart, that's telling me there must be an absolute plane of absolute joy. There has to be. I can't accept defeat in this regard. This pushing the eternal thrust of the inner heart, the pushing of the inner heart to find the ultimate satisfaction, to find a pleasure that never ends, to find a happiness that always increases. This is the primordial urge of the human being. And each one of us sitting here has found that answer to his heart's call. His heart's call, his heart's cry has been answered in this path of bhakti yoga, in this path of divine love, love divine. This is the desire we can submit to these kalpavriksha trees. Vrindavan, when Krishna was here with the gopis, was full of these same trees. You can go to these trees when Krishna was here. The gopis, they could take bath. They could take bath in the Radhakund and be wearing a red dress when they take a bath. When they come out, they think, oh, I'm tired of this red dress. I don't want to wear this red dress. I want to wear a blue dress. They go to the tree. Hey, give me a blue dress. Size 5. Because blue could be any color blue. Hey, that's exactly the color blue I had in my mind. Exactly the design I had in my mind. I wonder if it fits. Hey, it fits like a glove. It's perfect. Oh, Krishna, really like this. This is a couple of riksha trees. They can give anything. Say the gopis, Krishna's walking with the coward boys. And it's very hot. And they sat under one tree. And Madhumangal is one Brahmin. Madhumangal. So Madhumangal says, listen, boys, I'm going to tell you some stories. I'll tell you some stories from the Puranas. So then all the boys, they sit around Madhumangal. They're under this huge banyan tree, branches spreading everywhere in all directions, shade, complete shade, nice cool breeze coming from the Yamuna, natural air conditioning, nice fragrance. The breeze is laden with all kadamba flowers and juhi and bela, so many nice fragrant flowers coming. in the breeze. Now Madhumango starts speaking. 1 hour, after 2 hours, and then pretty soon flies start coming around. It starts getting hot, sticky. And then the cowboys are thinking, why is Madhumango keep speaking so much? He's telling us all these pranic stories. He told us about Ram Avatar. He told us about the Shring Avatar. We don't know what he's talking about. All we know is Krishna and the cows and yogurt and milk. All these avatars. Many, many stories he told. And it's getting very boring. Actually, I'm thirsty. I want some Tropicana, a pure, fresh orange juice. So then what happens is those trees, and immediately, oh, orange juice comes. In Vrindavan, there's a special kind of cows called Kamadenu. Deno means cow, and Kam means desire. Kam, Kamadenu. They fulfill all desires. Whatever you want, you can get from these cows. But the residents, the devotees in Vrindavan, the gopis and gopas, they don't want anything from these cows. They don't only want milk. They don't want anything. They don't want dresses. They don't want jewelry. They don't want money. They don't want anything from these trees but fruits. Fruits and flowers. Because Krishna can't eat jewels. Krishna can't eat a new dress. Krishna can't eat money. But the trees can give all these things. But Krishna can eat fruit. Krishna can smell flowers. You make a nice mala, make a nice flower garland. So the gopis, they look at the couple of richer trees. They say, oh, we want to make some nice... When they go bathing, the gopis are thinking, when we come out, we want to offer Krishna some nice malas, some nice rose garlands. As soon as they come out of the water, the rose garlands are hanging on the tree. Rose garlands are hanging on the tree. Beautiful, long rose garlands. And then there's Vaijanti mala. Vaijanti. Vaijanti mala means five different kinds of flowers. Bela, Kadamba, Gula, Jui, like this. All flowers like this. They're already ready to go. So this is a speciality of the couple of richer trees. One day, Radharani and all the sakis were bathing in Radhakund. At this place right here, it's called Manasapavan Ghat. Right straight behind us is where Radharani bathes every day around this time. 11:45. So, but the gopis, they never ask. When the gopis, as I said, they never ask for anything. They only take these fruits and flowers to offer them to Krishna. But it's one day when Radharani and all her sakis, they were bathing here. They forgot to bring a change of cloth. Like sometimes maybe you didn't bring your bathing, like we're going to take bath soon in Radhakund and Shyamakund. So maybe you didn't bring any bath, bathing clothes or change of cloth. So the gopis only bought the clothes they were wearing. And they were thinking, oh. So they went in the water of Radhakund and they bathed in Shyamakund. They forgot to bring a change of cloth. So when they came out of the water, their dresses were all wet and they were feeling very uncomfortable in their wet dresses. So then Brindadevi came. Brindadevi is one gopi, one sakhi. So she brought so many fruits from the trees. So she could feed the gopis, because the gopis went in the water, they splashed themselves a little bit. They were hungry. So she brought all these huge watermelons from the trees. The Kapalvriksha trees. Very tasty, juicy, fresh, sweet watermelons. So what happens when Brindadevi gave each gopi a watermelon. And then the gopis, when they opened the watermelon, what did they find inside the watermelon? They found clothes. They found clothes. They each found a set of clothes. It was their personal clothes, with their personal size and color and everything. Each gopi, because each gopi wears different colored cloth and different design. It has their own unique way, just like everyone dresses differently. The gopis also dress differently. So each gopi opened the watermelon. So what happened is that Brindadevi wanted to offer the gopis some watermelons. The gopis wanted some watermelons because they don't want anything for themselves. Because they only approach the Kalpavriksha trees for the service of Krishna. They don't want to take anything for their own service or their own pleasure. Oh, fruits for Krishna, flowers for Krishna. So now Brindadevi, who's a servant of the gopis, she's a maidservant, she's thinking, oh, my gopis, they're hungry. So let me give them... So she went to the tree and she thought, oh, watermelons would be nice. So she took so many watermelons, she gave them. But then the Kalpavriksha tree was thinking... The Kalpavriksha tree also thinks, oh, I know these gopis. They are not interested in opulence. Grandeur, majesty, opulence, magic. They don't want all those things. They only want the simple, natural country beauty of Vrindavan. They don't want trees that give gold and trees that give... They don't want that. But we know we want to serve the gopis. So the Kalpa Vriksha trees, they're thinking by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna's spiritual potency. The Kalpa Vriksha trees are thinking, we know the gopis are uncomfortable in their wet clothes, so we want to serve them. So then the Kalpa Vriksha trees, they put the dry clothes inside of each watermelon. So that's how the gopis... So this is the Kalpa Vriksha trees of Vrindavan. You can get fruits and with your own clothes inside the fruits. Very, very special. Sri Radha Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. One last pastime we can tell. This Radhakund area, there's right nearby here, there's a place called Malya Hari Kund. Malya Hari Kund. Malya Hari Kund, this is a place of the pearl story. Story of the pearls. One day, in Kartik Maina, October, November, was Gopastami. Gopastami is a special day that's set aside every year for all the Indian people to worship Mother Cow. They worship on this day, Gopastami. And they offer some puja, and it's a special day to worship the cow. Any day is you can worship the cow, but especially on Gopastami. When Krishna came to Radhakund, Radharani and all the Sakis, they were in Malya Hari Kund. Radharani was holding court with all of her gopis. Sakis means gopis. Sakis, friends. Sakis means friends. Gopis. And she was... They were all making garlands. They were making flower garlands because they used to collect flowers and make garlands there to give to Krishna. And this particular time, they had many pearls also. They were stringing, actually, garlands of pearls. Pearl necklaces. I guess ladies wear pearl necklace. They were stringing garlands of pearls. Now Krishna, he met those gopis in Malya Hari Kund and he said, listen, you have so many pearls, can you give us some of your pearls, because I want to decorate the cows. I want to offer the cows, put some pearls on their horns and decorate them, make them look very beautiful on this Gopastami day. So Lalita Sakhi, she's quite outspoken, very bold, arrogant type, feisty. So she, you want to take pearls? You want to take our pearls to use to decorate your cows? Are you for real? I mean, what are you saying? Pearls are not for cows. Pearls are for people. So no, it's a Gopastami. Just a few pearls. So then Lalita Sakhi, she took one necklace, a very beautiful pearls. You see this pearl necklace? It's very nice. Very, very nice. You see, Krishna? Would you like this? You can't have... We won't give you one pearl. We won't even give you one pearl to decorate your cows. Now you go, just go from here. Go play with your cows. Who will be so crazy to give you pearls to decorate your cows? Krishna was very upset. The gopis were very uncooperative. Very proud mood. So Krishna ran home to his mother, to Mother Yashoda. Oh, Janani. Oh, Mother Yashoda. Can I have some pearls? Oh, Lala. Oh, my Lala. What do you want pearls for? I want to put them in the ground. I want to plant these pearls in the ground and harvest pearls. Krishna's only a young boy. He saw his father. He saw sometimes he would put seeds in the ground and a fruit tree would come up. Put in a mango seed, you get a mango tree. So you put in a pearl seed and you get pearl trees. Yes? No. His mother said, oh, Lala, what crazy ideas have come in your head? You're out in the hot sun, I don't know what's happening. No, oh, mommy, please. All right, take. Because mothers, they always give in to their children. If he had asked his father, Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj would have... Yeah, no gel. Well, Mother Yashoda gave some pearls. So Krishna went and he planted those pearls in Nandagram. The Leela started here in Malyari Kund at Radhakund, but then it went there. And then he put a fence all around it to protect it, protect his crop. And then he started watering those pearls, those pearl that he put in the ground. Did he use water? No, he didn't use water. He used milk, because this is a special crop. And his father has thousands and thousands of cows, so there's no shortage of cow's milk. So every day he was pouring so much milk on the field. Very extraordinary garden. A garden full of pearls. Right? So then, after a couple of days, surprisingly enough, some shoots came out of the ground. Shoots started appearing everywhere. Everybody thought, huh? What is this? It must be weeds. It must be thorns. Thorn trees or weeds or something. What can it be? And then a couple of days later, they grew very fast and pearls started appearing on the trees, on the bushes, little pearls. Were these regular pearls? They were very extraordinary pearls. Usually pearls come from oysters in the ocean or in some lake or somewhere, some water from oyster cultivated. But here they're coming from the land, from plants. Very unusual, mysterious event. Not only that, but the pearls, some of the pearls were white, some were a little yellowish. Okay, we see like that. Some a little bluish. But some of them were dark blue, some are red, some are bright yellow, some are green. Green pearls. They weren't plastic balls you buy in some five and dime store. Plastic necklace look like pearls. Real pearls. All multicolored pearls. Extraordinary pearls. Not only that, extraordinary colors, extraordinary appearance, pearls from the ground, from trees. But the pearls had fragrance, like a flower, such a sweet aroma. Inconceivable, unbelievable. Pearls from trees with different colors and fragrance. You expect me to believe that? Well, it's true. It's called Mukta Charita. Mukta Charita, the pearl story. And it really happened. It happened here 5,000 years ago in this place. So now Krishna was getting thousands and thousands of pearls. And the gopis were thinking, all these beautiful pearls, we will look so beautiful. We can put them on our clothes. We can put them on our hair. We can put them on our neck. We can make belts. We can do so many things with these pearls. What will Krishna do with them? He's going to offer them to his cows. So what did Krishna do? Krishna started making necklaces, pearl necklaces. And he took pearls and he put them all around the horns of the cows. He glued them on the horns of the cows. He gave pearl necklaces to the cows. He gave pearl necklaces to the peacocks. He gave pearl necklaces to the monkeys. And monkeys are so mischievous and so naughty, they'll think, oh, it's some nuts. They'll simply bite it and break the necklace and throw it. If they can't eat it, they throw it. If a monkey can't eat something, he destroys it. He steals your shirt off the clothesline, and then he tries to eat it. There's nothing tasty. Then he destroys it and throws it on the ground. That's his pastime. Monkeys, very monkey business. Naughty characters. The gopis were looking here and there in Vrindavan. They said, Gopi, the news spread very fast. Gopi, did you see? The cows have pearl necklaces. The monkeys have pearl necklaces. What about us? So then the gopis went to Krishna. They said, oh Krishna, you have such a beautiful, you know, garden here. Can you give us some pearls? You're asking me for pearls? Do you remember a week ago when I came to Radhakund at Malyahari Kund, and I asked you for a few pearls, and Lalita Sakhi, she dangled that necklace in front of me, said, oh Krishna, you want pearls? That's what you want, pearls? You think you're going to get these pearls? Forget it. We'll not give you one pearl. Remember Lalita Sakhi, you said that? Oh, Lalita was quiet. Lalita was very, very quiet. Krishna said, I'm not going to give you one single pearl.
Nothing. Krishna had thousands and thousands. He had whole trunks full of pearls. Blue, yellow, green. He wouldn't give one. So the gopis, this guy. They went back to Barsana. And all the gopis had a meeting. Said, listen, we'll get all the pearls from our mother and from our mother-in-law. And all our own pearls. And we'll plant them in the ground. We'll make our own pearl garden. We'll harvest our own pearls. So then the gopis, they did that. They took their mother, they snitched. They stole their pearl necklaces of their mother-in-laws. It's not recommended. It's not recommended at all. Because see, in India they have joint families. So the daughter lives with the mother-in-law, the husband, you know, different generations they live together. It's called joint family. So the daughter-in-law, she can easily have access to the mother-in-law's jewelry. They did that. They took the risk. Because Krishna got thousands of pearls, it's easy to pay them back. They planted their pearls. And they started watering. They said, oh, listen, Krishna used milk to water his pearls. We want to have better pearls. We'll water our pearls with ghee. We'll put ghee on those pearls. And gopis are very smart, no? Ghee is much more shakti. You know, ghee means clarified butter, liquefied butter, butter oil, like melted butter. It's called ghee. So we'll put that, we'll nourish our crops, our pearl crops with this ghee. So they did. Thousands and thousands of kilos of ghee every day going in the field. And they're waiting, they're watching. One day, 2 days, 3 days, nothing coming out. Only grease oil everywhere. Ghee everywhere, all over the field. Horrible mess. Then finally, after 4 days, some sprouts came. And the gopis were clapping. Oh, great, pearls, pearls, pearls. So the sprouts started growing into little plants, coming slowly, 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 slowly going up. And then they got about 1 foot high. And then they started expanding. And little bumps formed on the branches. And out from those bumps came thorns. All thorn bushes. Thorn bushes full of thorns. Thorny bushes. Not one pearl. And the gopis said, oh my God. Oh God. All the pearl necklaces that we got is our heirloom. We stole our pearl necklaces from mother-in-law. Our husband gave us pearl necklaces. They're all gone. They all turned into thorn trees. Oh, I'm going to have a very thorny time with my mother-in-law. When she finds out I spoiled her pearl necklaces, she will throw me on a bed of thorns. She will talk. So the gopis are really worried now because the gopis met and they said, how is it? What happened? We did the same thing Krishna did. He got thousands of pearls. What happened to us? I don't know. They started speculating. I think at night, Krishna went in and stole all those. He took out all those pearls and put seeds of thorn trees in there while we weren't looking. Oh, that's possible. It's possible. Maybe he did that. Whatever, we don't know. There's no way to prove it. All we know is now we're in bad straits. We're in a very difficult situation right now. If we don't recover some pearls really fast. So they went to Krishna. They started begging, Krishna, please. We're in very great difficulty now. Please give us some pearls. Not a lot of pearl necklaces. Just a couple for our mother-in-law, a couple for our mother, a few of ours. Just a few pearl necklaces. And Krishna is, don't get away from here. I don't want to hear any of these empty words. My ears are deaf. Now you know how I felt a week ago when I asked her for a few pearls. Now you burn a little bit. You see how you feel. You go. So they went. Very distressed. They were very, very distressed. Very unhappy. So now the word got around that many of the gopis were thinking of committing suicide. So they're thinking like this. So then Subal Sakha and Sridham Sakha, Krishna's friends, coward friends, they heard the rumors going on. The gopis are about to give up their life in the Yamuna because they can't bear the shame of not having all these pearl necklaces. So they said to Krishna, Krishna, can't you give some few pearls to the gopis so they don't give up their lives? I mean, they're your gopis. I mean, Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, the Sakis, your gopis, your girlfriends. If you don't give them some pearl necklaces to save their face, they're going to give up their lives in the disgrace of that loss of all those pearl necklaces. And Krishna's thinking, oh, all right. So now Krishna had a turn of mind. His mind turned. So he said, all right, bring me, he told the cow, bring me many boxes, small boxes. And take those boxes to one carpenter and have that carpenter engrave on that box, engrave the name of each Sakhi. Radharani Sakhi, Lalita Sakhi, Vishaka Sakhi, Tungavidya, Chitra Sakhi, Lagalaga, different Sakhis. Put their names on the boxes. So they went to a carpenter, they bought hundreds of boxes, nice, beautiful redwood boxes with the names. Now Krishna, he sat there and he engaged the coward boys. He started making necklaces. They made bracelets, necklaces, and Krishna personally started making pearl necklaces for Radharani, for Lalita. Then he took that box, he took that redwood box, and he put the, oh, this is for Radharani. He put the necklaces, put it like this. He lined up all the boxes. He had all these boxes, redwood boxes full of pearl necklaces and bracelets and belts and everything, rings, everything. And then he sent a messenger. He sent a messenger to bring the gopis from their home in Barsana. So he came and said, Krishna wants to give you some pearls. So they all went there. But you have to pay something. So they all bought as much gold and everything they had to buy these pearls. So then Krishna, they started negotiating. Krishna said he would hold up some pearls. So how much you will give me for this pearl necklace? How much gold do you have? Because the gopis have so much gold, bangles, necklaces. They're trading one for the other. So they started betting back. They started giving their how much they would give, their bid. Well, we'll give you this much for that necklace. And all these redwood boxes, they were hidden somewhere. So Krishna started this back and forth. He said, actually, this necklace is worth $100,000. And the gopis were thinking, oh, it's so much. He said, yes, this is a very extraordinary necklace. This was grown from the dirt. It's from my field. This is a field-produced pearl. It's very rare, special, not ordinary. So they had some joking back and forth like this about the price of the pearls, and the gopis said, this is too much cheating going on. We can't deal with you. You know, you're just not a fair player. Then finally Krishna said, all right, I'll tell you what. And then he called the coward boys, and they brought all these boxes. And he says, Radharani, oh Radharani, please come. So Radharani came. Then Krishna said, this is one box for you. And then he called, hey Lalita Sakhi, ow, Jaldi, ow. So he called Lalita Sakhi, she came. Then he gave, oh Lalita Sakhi, this is for you. And this way, Krishna personally gave each Sakhi a complete box of pearls. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.